Okay. So that's probably too loud. You can probably make that softer. My dad suggested to me I could preach a Mother's Day message, and I thought, you know what, I don't think I can preach that with much authority or much experience. So I opted to not preach a Mother's Day message. So mothers, sorry, it's not specially for you. Today's for everyone. I'm also trying something new, which Aina has been, I don't know where Aina went, but he's been, oh, there he is. Like, he's been telling me, use a PowerPoint. So I do have one. So can you put that on for me and just see if this works? You're welcome. Okay, yes, okay, I have the controls. Okay, those words are tiny. Right, well, good morning, Tennis City Church. Wonderful to be with you today. I have what I hope is a simple but encouraging message today, which is on the rewards of prayer. You see, after my last message, I got scared. I thought, I'm being too legalistic. I'm like, do this. You know, don't sin, don't do this. And I got scared that I'm just preaching legalism, which I don't want to do. So, Tutu didn't tell me it was too legalistic, but maybe he thought, I don't know. So anyway, so today I want to just speak about prayer, the rewards of prayer, and then just make a couple of suggestions for how to enjoy more of those rewards in our lives. To intro, though, let me just start with what is prayer, if you're unfamiliar with the concept, or if you've maybe heard different definitions of that. I would define prayer simply as talking to God. And God is very smart. He knows when we're talking to him and when we're talking to someone else. So, you know, if I say words with the intention of addressing God, he hears them. He knows. He hears all my words and he knows which ones are. Anyway, so prayer is speaking intentionally to communicate with God, right? And it's kind of the our side of the conversation when we listen to God, when we talk to God. Talking to God is prayer. There's different ways we do that. Often we take a large amount of time to set aside for a little devotional or quiet time. Sometimes it can happen on the go through our day, but prayer is just communicating with God. I'm going to practice now and pray, and then I'll read my first scripture. Heavenly Father, thank you for Tanner City Church. Thank you for this opportunity we have to gather and learn from your word. I pray you would speak to us today and teach us how to speak to you through prayer. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, I'm going to start by reading from Daniel chapter 6, and since those words are really small, if you can't see them, just listen to what I say. I'm going to read them. Then the high officials and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, but they could find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful and no error or fault was found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God." Then these high officials and satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, "O King Darius, live forever. All the high officials of the kingdom, the prefects, the satraps, the counselors, and the governors are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever should make petition to any god or man for 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked." Therefore, King Darius signed the document and the injunction. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. What a guy, this Daniel character. He was one of the exiles of Israel living in this kingdom of the Medes and the Persians where King Darius was king, and he was faithful to God. In everything Daniel did, he honored God, and God gave him success so that Daniel climbed the ranks in this kingdom and became the chief wise man, the chief counselor to the king of this whole kingdom. So all of these other officials were looking at Daniel like, how can we get rid of this guy? He's He's took my job. Now he's taken the next guy's job. The next guy. Soon he's going to be, there's no one above him except the king. We've got to get rid of him. So they start looking to find some way they can complain about him to the king. And unfortunately for them, Daniel was just too good. They could find nothing that he did wrong. So they got even sneakier. And they appealed to the king's ego. They said, King, you're so great, you know. People shouldn't pray to God. They should pray to you. If that actually, that's the most important. So make a command that no one can pray to anyone except you for 30 days. And the king says, I like that idea. And he signs the command and he stamps it and he sends it out. And the whole kingdom is told, for the next 30 days, no praying to anyone or anything except to the king. And Daniel hears about this. And what's the first thing he does? He goes into his house and he starts praying. Which I think is also smart, because if any king is to tell you you should not pray to God, the best fix for that would be to ask God for help. But Daniel, he couldn't bear to go 30 days or even a single day without praying. It was incomprehensible. He couldn't imagine. You know, a more prudent person would have said, okay, it's fine. I'll just skip my prayer times for 30 days and then go on with life. You know, I can still pray in my head. The king won't know. No, but Daniel said, no, that's not good enough. He's not going to give up his times that he's spending with God. And he goes into his house and he starts praying, because the risk of losing his life, as the king threatened, was not as big to him as the risk of losing the rewards of prayer. The rewards of prayer are treasures. They are things we should seek after. We should want them. We should long for them. They're valuable. And Daniel teaches us that any price that can be paid on earth here is worth it to gain those rewards. So what are they? Hello? It's not working. Next one, please. What? Okay. The rewards of prayer. You can go to the next one. The rewards of prayer are many. That's what I want to start with. There's not like one thing. Like, if you pray, then you'll be happy. Or if you pray, then, you know, you'll lose 3 hours a day, you know, praying. I don't know. No, there are many different rewards to prayer. So, there we go. Prayer brings us closer to God. Prayer is about spending time with God. And when you spend time with a person, you get to know who they are. And you learn about them, you get closer to them. Try it. Pick anyone you don't know. Have some conversations with them. Soon you do know them. Prayer brings us closer to God, which is a good thing. It's a reward. In fact, it's a reward which is only unlocked to us because of Jesus. We were separated from God. And now because of Jesus, our prayers can bring us into God's presence. And we can communicate and commune with God, which is amazing. Prayer also teaches us to submit our will to God's will. The more time we go without prayer, the more we'll find ourselves thinking things should be like this. Things should be like this. And we'll start making our own plans, start going our own way, start doing what we want to do. But if we spend time in prayer, praying to God, sharing our heart with God, hearing from God what His will is, and praying such prayers as, "Let your will be done," it starts, our hearts start to change and our will starts to line up with God's will. That's another reward of prayer. Prayer also helps to develop peace in our lives, to live in the kind of peace that the Holy Spirit brings by spending time in God's presence. And there's a wonderful assurance once we've prayed of knowing God has heard us. So those things that were weighing on us, those concerns of our hearts, don't bother us as much once we know, all right, I've brought it to God. God knows. I don't have to carry that thing anymore. I'm not carrying it alone. Does that make sense? Any burden is like that. When you share it, it gets lighter, and God is the strongest. So when we share with God, it gets, no more problems. Well, I mean, anyways. Prayer also is our way of inviting God to work in our lives. Now, God can and does work in our lives in spite of our prayerlessness, but God delights that we would invite Him, that we would ask Him, that we would seek for Him. God loves us to bring our concerns to him. Does he not know what we need? Yes, he does. Jesus said that the Father knows what we need before we ask him. But God loves for us to bring our concerns, bring our requests, bring our thoughts to him. In Matthew 7, it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? God loves us to ask him. And I've heard it preached before by people who are parents. I'm not a parent. But they said when their child comes to them and asks for something, they love that. They love that expression of dependence. They love that the child believes that they can help, that they can provide what they're asking for. I think even George Abus, when he preached here a couple of weeks ago, mentioned that. He starts thinking, isn't there some way to, you know, make my child's request come true? And I experienced a little bit of that on Thursday, I think, because I'm a teacher here at Vision Valley School, and for lunch, I didn't bring any lunch, so I ordered a pizza from Aero Pizza, and then one of my students came and like, Mr., can I have a piece of your pizza? I was like, wow, they actually think I'd share it with them. That's so cool, and I gave them a piece of my pizza. You know, it warms my heart to think, wow, they actually believe that I'm kind. They believe that I'm good, you know?
They believe.
They hope. They wish. Prayer also teaches us various skills and fruits of the Spirit and things like that. Prayer teaches perseverance. God doesn't always answer our prayers right away, not because he can't, but because his plans are just a little bit better than ours. And what we think is good for us now, God knows, might not be. Or simply because he wants us to have that perseverance, to learn to endure. In Luke 18, there's the story of the persistent widow, illustrating that if you ask and ask and ask again, you know, even evil people will eventually give in because you're just so annoying. And God doesn't need to be annoyed into giving us good things. The Father in heaven gives good things to those who ask him, but sometimes the good thing he's giving us is perseverance. You see, God doesn't need our prayers. As Paul says in Acts, God's not served with human hands as though he lacked anything. He doesn't need our prayers. They don't do something. There's no magical power in the prayers. It's not so much about what we pray, but who we pray to. So God doesn't need our prayers, but he delights in allowing us to be part of what he's doing. And he asks us, commands us, in fact, to pray and be a part of that and gain these rewards of prayer. Make sense? Even Jesus prayed. Just if you were doubting me still that prayer is important and valuable, even Jesus prayed. And I find that interesting because Jesus was God, the Son of God, but he still prayed. So clearly prayer is important. All right. The rewards of prayer are valuable. Those, some of what I just listed before, some of these are just some of the rewards of prayer. And I want to just go for a second and mention that these are also incredibly valuable. Prayer is a means of our sanctification. God has ordained prayer as a grace to us that through prayer, as we spend time with God, we will be conformed into the image of Christ. As we pray, those rough edges of our character get chipped away. God smooths over our faults and makes us more like Jesus. Prayer is one of the ways in which God sanctifies us. Why would we skip out on that? That is valuable. That is one of the goals of the Christian life, is to become more like Jesus. I've already mentioned this, but prayer is a means of having peace and joy and all manner of other good things in our lives. And these are valuable things. Ask anyone who's running around day and night, working, stressing, that you feel the toll it takes on your health. You know, it's valuable to have peace in your life. We should value all the rewards of prayer highly because God has decreed that they would be that way, that prayer would bring these good things in our lives. God gives good things to us. The rewards of prayer are also desirable. Sometimes things are valuable, but you don't want them. Like, I don't know, like a Hummer. Like, you know, a big 4x4 Hummer. It's valuable. It's really expensive. But I don't want one because it's really expensive. And if you scratch it, then... So, and they use a lot of fuel. But if you drive one, good for you. But they're not only valuable, but the rewards of prayer are also desirable. They're things that we want. The ultimate reward of prayer, you see, is God himself. Spending time with God, becoming more like Jesus, and learning who God is. That's the essence of Christianity, is to know God. So, it's desirable. God is the very best, the very greatest being, and knowing him is our greatest joy. So the rewards of prayer are many, are valuable, are desirable. One more. They're accessible. We can have them. We're not window shopping. I like to go on Amazon.com and look at all the nice things, but I can't have them. Not only are they expensive, but Amazon doesn't really ship to Madagascar. God does ship to Madagascar. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When we draw near to God, the door is open. The way is open. We can come in. It's accessible. We can have it. They're not out there. Oh, the rewards of prayer are so great. Too bad I can't get them. You know, they're near. We can draw near to God at any time. So there are many rewards, valuable, desirable, and maybe most importantly, accessible. We can have them. So it would be terrible for me to come to you today and offer you something you can't have. You can have this. All right. Part two. You see, prayer is easy. One of my favorite passages on prayer is this passage from Nehemiah 2. I'll read it quickly. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, I took up the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had not been sad in his presence. And the king said to me, "Why is your face sad, seeing you are not sick? This is nothing but sadness of the heart." Then I was very much afraid. I said to the king, "Let the king live forever. Why should not my face be sad when the city, the place of my father's graves, lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" Then the king said to me, "What are you requesting?" So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king, "If it pleases the king, and if your servant has..." That line. So I prayed to the God of heaven. That fits into the conversation. That happened in between the king's question and Nehemiah's answer. The king said, "What do you want?" And Nehemiah said, "Hold on a second, let me pray." Okay, king. No, he didn't do that. The king is waiting for an answer. You don't do that to the king. The king said, "What do you want?" And Nehemiah said, "God, help me." And he said, "King, if it pleases you, let me go to Jerusalem and build it." Prayer is easy. You can do it in an instant. It's not complicated. You can say a prayer. I could pray right now. You wouldn't know. I can just pray quietly. "God, would what I'm saying be true? Would what I'm saying land on receptive hearts?" I can say these in my mind without you knowing. Prayer can be really, really easy. There's no fancy routines or special words that we have to use. And we've all heard those prayers that are very, very spiritual because of all the fancy words. But we've already established that praying is just speaking to God, and God hears the words we say to him. Also, that there's no magic power in the prayers themselves. It's about who we pray to. So prayer is easy. On the other hand, prayer is also very hard. You see, prayer is God's ordained means of receiving grace and mercy, of being sanctified. Prayer is God's means of transforming us, one of his means of blessing us. As such, prayer is uniquely opposed by the devil. I promise you this, the devil hates it when we pray. You just try it and see how quickly distractions start popping up all around you. You know, prayer is so powerful. Prayer is so valuable. Prayer is so good for us. the devil does not like it when we pray, and he does what he can to prevent us. So prayer can be a huge struggle sometimes. In Colossians, Paul describes that he's continually struggling in prayer for the people in the Colossian church. It's also very difficult because prayer is against our own human nature in a way. Prayer admits dependency. We don't pray to God, "Oh, Heavenly Father, I'm so great. I'm really doing well and I don't need your help right now. And everything is good. I'm just so powerful." No, that's not prayer. We don't pray and say, "God, I'm so great." We say, "God, I need your help. God, I'm weak. God, I'm a failure. God, you are so great." Prayer admits that we are not good enough. Prayer is a way, at least if you're praying properly, you're admitting your own weaknesses, your own sin, shame, failure, incompleteness, imperfection, all kinds of horrible things. And who likes to put up their hand and say, "I'm a loser. I'm not good. I made a mistake. More than one. I'm a sinner. I'm shameful. I'm a failure." No one likes to say that. We don't say that, go around saying that to everyone. "Hey, Mira, nice to meet you. I'm a failure." And when we come to God in prayer, then our own nature wrestles against us. It's just make yourself look a little bit better. You didn't lie. You bent the truth. You didn't steal. It was borrowing. You weren't angry. You were just frustrated. You know, and we paint ourselves in the best light when we come to God. And we say, "God, I'm not so bad. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm not so bad today, so thank you for your offer, but I'm good." You know, that's not prayer. So we're fighting, we're not only opposed by the devil in true prayer, we're opposed by our own nature as well. And we have to wrestle in prayer. We have to really strive if we want to overcome these things and gain the rewards. It takes perseverance. It takes practice. Because prayer is so difficult, it can be helpful to have a strategy when you pray, to have some different means to pray. I need to preface this by saying what I'm about to suggest is not the right way to pray, is not the only way to pray. The words or suggestions I've come up with are not more holy than another option. I've already said there's not a right way or special words to pray. I just want to suggest three different prayers we can pray that if we pray them regularly, I believe will be good for us. And it helps to know where to start when it's time to pray, if that makes sense. Also, I should say, we don't need to be afraid of praying wrong, of praying the wrong thing. God sees our hearts, so even if we say the wrong words, he knows what we mean. And God won't answer a prayer that's against his will or that's bad for us. I go back to the scripture, you know, if your son asks you for bread, would you give him a stone? I ask you, if your son asks you for a stone, would you give him a stone? Can I eat a stone for supper? Would you give him a stone? No. If your son asks you for a snake, would you give him a snake? No. So if we ask God for bad things, he won't give them to us. And if we ask God for good things, he won't give us bad things. And sometimes when we ask for good things, he'll give us good things. You really can't lose. Okay. And I paraphrase John Piper, who said this about sharing the gospel, but I said about praying. And if you ask about someone, "Aren't they praying wrong?" he would say, "I like their way of doing it better than your way of not doing it." You know? It's not a good excuse. I might pray wrong, so I better not pray at all. That's no good, you know? Okay. So, three prayers that I think that we as a church should adopt and regularly pray. Maybe daily, maybe weekly, maybe multiple times a day. I don't know. You could do one in the morning, one in the afternoon, one at night, like Daniel did 3 times a day. I don't mind. And if you have a better way, you know, do it your way. These are just my suggestions. That God would transform us. We should pray this regularly. We are not there yet. We've received salvation, but we're still being sanctified. So let's pray our way through that process. Let's be praying every day every step for God's transforming work in us. We change little by little. And one of the cries that I believe we should have in our heart is, God, a little bit faster. Make me more like you a little bit faster. I don't want to wait till I'm 40 or 60 or 80. Make me like I will be then now, and then make me even more like you. I'll never be there, but I can get there. I can get further. I can get faster. Let's pray that God would be transforming us inside, conforming us to the image of His Son. What is the difference between someone who's been a Christian for 1 week or 1 month or 1 year or 50 years? I put it to you that one of the major differences is only the amount of prayers that they have prayed and the effect that that has had on them. God works in us when we pray. Pray for God's power to work mightily in your own life and the life of those you care about. And then, inspired by your prayers, then practice it. When you say, this morning I prayed that I would have a more thankful heart. Let me remember to give thanks today. This morning I prayed that I would be more generous. Let me practice my generosity today. As our prayers guide our actions and these things work together, we will see God's transforming work in us. Now, this takes time, yes. And even if we pray God a little bit faster, it still takes time. You pray today, tomorrow, that your God would help you keep your temper. Tomorrow you still get angry. Oh, it didn't work. Well, do it again, do it again, do it again. And then look back in a month or a year and see what God has done in you. See the transformation. This is also the reason many people recommend keeping a kind of a journal of your prayers. I suck at this. I'm really bad. I've always been bad at like journaling. But if you write down what you're asking for and you record the date, then you have time to look back in, you know, 5 years' time. You look back, wow, all I was praying for was that I'd get a job back then. Now I have a job, I have a family, you know, whatever it might be. Remember, pray, persevere, pray that God would be transforming you inside to be more like Jesus. Pray that God's kingdom would advance. This is our primary directive on earth, is to spread the gospel, the Great Commission. Go make disciples. We need to be going out to make the name of Jesus famous across the earth. Now, this can't be done without copious, without large, huge amounts of prayer. Why? This particular one demands that we wage war on ourselves to overcome every tendency of self-preservation, every tendency of saving face, of being liked, of being accepted. We have to fight with ourselves and wrestle to overcome our selfish tendencies if we want to spread the gospel. It demands that we wage war on culture, and a culture in this world which says that God is outdated and there's better ways now. You know, it's recent that we became smart enough to try to uninvent God. That's only since about the 1800s. But it exists now that we think that we can uninvent God. And we have to fight against those trends and all the trends which try to make the evil look good, the sinful look right. And we have to wage war on these things if we want God's kingdom to advance. A poignant example right now is the question of abortion and the laws which are going on in America. And right a couple of months after New York passed a law to allow abortion right up to the due date of delivery, now in Alabama, I think, or somewhere, they've now, you know, made abortion not allowed. And people are complaining that they don't feel safe if they're not allowed to abort. And I can't understand how you feel threatened by, you know, a little baby. But Christians need to stand up against these things, against the evil cultural trends which want to say we can have it our way, we can do what we want. We are the voice of truth. And if we want God's kingdom to advance, we have to pray that ourselves and every Christian would stand up against these things. We can't just do it. Our strength is not enough. We need God's strength if God's kingdom is going to advance. He is building His church. Let's pray it in. Let's pray God's kingdom into the now. We need to pray that the Holy Spirit would be transforming us and preparing hearts all around to receive Jesus. Here we are, Tennessee City Church, here in this suburb, and there are thousands of people who walk past this place every week, going who knows where. Ultimately, you know, hundreds of them, no doubt, going to an eternal destiny of suffering and separation from God. Let's pray that God's preparing their hearts to receive His word, so that when we share the gospel with them, not if, but when we go out with the gospel, they would receive and turn. God's kingdom must advance. It will advance, and we must be part of it. The King is calling. The King is calling you. He says, come, pray for my mission. Serve on my team, work. Let's advance this kingdom. And don't be surprised if your praying for God's kingdom to advance quickly brings you to the point where you find yourself going for the kingdom to advance. Prayer transforms us, and as we pray for God's kingdom to advance, those opportunities are going to become more and more clear, and you're going to find it irresistible to do things you never thought you would do. Start conversations with total strangers. Go to a foreign nation. The time is coming when Madagascar must not be the receiver but the sender of the missionaries. God's kingdom must come. Let us pray it in every day, every step, every battle to be fought. Let us win it with prayer before we ever say a word or take a step. And get ready to get radical. I promise you. Pray for any of the good things that God wants to see. Pray that you would learn how to worship better. And in a couple of months, you're going to find yourself raising your hands or jumping up and down or doing like Tuzu does sometimes and doing a weird little dance behind the piano, you know? Where is he? He's not here. Okay, that's good. Get ready to experience the power of prayer. Let's pray God's kingdom into the now. Why wait? It's coming. It's going to come no matter what. Wouldn't you rather be a part of it than just sit back and watch it happen without you? I would. Ultimately, number three, let's pray that, that God would be glorified in all of these things, and out in the transformation, in the coming of His kingdom, in the salvation of souls, in all of these things. This is the goal of history. When you read the book of Revelations in the Bible, people get a little bit hung up on this book. What does it mean? Who's the Antichrist? What's the beast with the, you know, this and the that? I say the message of Revelation is really simple. God wins. God's kingdom is coming. Don't get hung up on the details. His kingdom is coming, and He will be glorified to reign forever on the throne. Let's pray that He would be glorified now. That we would be part of it, that we could in some small way contribute to His glory. Praise God in your prayers. What is glory? It's the praise you get for what you've done. Declare it. As we worship, as we pray, let's declare what God has done, how great God is. I invite you, take a look around, outside, look at the sky, the trees, the grass. God made that. Look at the people sitting in this room, how different we all are. God made them. Us, all of us, God is great. Let's pray that God would be glorified. What I've said is not necessarily what's on the screen. These are my more practical points that you can pray on these different prayers. You know, but let's be a people of prayer. Let's strive hard to get these rewards. Let's be known as a people of prayer. These prayers I've suggested overlap a lot. And I think that's right. That's as it should be. Our inner transformation will lead to us going out to work to advance the kingdom. Our praying for the kingdom to advance will transform us inside. And as we pray for God's glory, ultimately we'll learn to set ourselves aside and to pursue His glory and His honor. It's fine. These are just suggestions. Pray different prayers. Pray many prayers. Don't only pray these three, please. You can pray the Lord's Prayer also. It incorporates largely what these are. These are kind of expanding on the points. But let's be a people of prayer. Let's Tanner City Church be a church that's full of people who pray. Why lose out? You know? If I said to you, you can have a millionaire, all you have to do is talk to me for half an hour. Most of you would take it. Or billionaire. God is promising us something of infinite worth, his very self. We can know God. All we have to do is just spend some time talking to him. It really is that easy and that hard. Avoid the distractions. Leave the smartphone away from your praying spot. I mean, you can pray wherever you want, but pray somewhere where there's not distractions. Let's not lose out. God is coming. His kingdom is coming. His glory is going to be revealed, and let's pray it in to the now. Let's follow Jesus' example and pray continually in all circumstances. Like Daniel, people so committed, so desiring of knowing God and of these rewards of prayer that we can't bear to miss even one day of praying. And then let's watch as God uses this thing, prayer, which he created as a means of grace to bring unprecedented, never before seen, I believe, power, glory, peace, joy, wonder, strength, beauty, victory into our lives. God is alive. He's powerful. He's working. He invites us to be a part of it. Let's be known as a people of prayer. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for prayer, for this gift you've given us as a way to speak to you, to access your presence, to gain not only the rewards you offer us, but to know you. Thank you that it's easy and that even though it's hard, you strive with us and your spirit teaches us to pray. Lord, would we be known as a people of prayer? Would Tanner City Church be known as a people who pray? We long to see more of your kingdom, more of your glory, more of your transforming power at work. I want to invite us now, Tanner City Church, let's practice this. Let's pray together. Can I ask you to stand? And then right where we are, let's just take a moment and let's pray. Each one of us, just pray to God. One of those three suggestions, something else, whatever it is, just speak to God. Thank him for his word. Glorify him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we worship you.